Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or afternoon, depending on where you are. Hi, it's Marcia Cook, and this is A Good Story is a Good Story on a special day because we have a really special guest, which is Bonnie Trachtenberg, and Virginia is with us. Virginia Grenier.
Hello.
Yes, there she is. And she's under the weather today a little, but she's good, and she came in on the show, and so we'll, you know, if she has to get off because she's coughing, she said she would. So we'll just say hi, Virginia, and hope you feel better. And this is a really special, we usually don't have this show on at this time, and I already had it once this week, Good Story is a Good Story, but we're going to have another one. And Virginia, is there anything you want to talk about before we go into Bonnie, because sometimes we don't say the things that we, you know, about our shows. Would you like to talk about your show Monday,
the
second?
Yeah, I would say normally we do on the first of the month, the SSC Magazine news show. But instead of doing it tomorrow on Saturday, because obviously it's a Saturday, Irene and I moved it to Monday, so it'll be on October 3rd instead. And we haven't ironed out the time yet, so it's going to be toward the evening sometime.
Okay. Oh, it's toward evening? Oh, that's a good time, toward evening. That works. Okay. Well, you know, sometimes you have to change because, you know, there's nothing we can do sometimes because sometimes, you know, you have three kids. It's life, you know, and there's things that change. So, I mean, we have been, you know, we're trying to do the best we can about the time. But, you know, sometimes, but we do advertise enough that I think people, will, you know, that we're planning it will know. And they can always listen to any of our shows on demand. So I think that's a good thing, you know, and they're on iTunes also. So anybody that misses a show or just can't stay for the whole show can go in and listen to any of our shows, which there are quite a few, you know. I mean, we have, and that's why I wanted to actually start saying this at the beginning. So, you know, in case people don't stay, you know, we'd like everybody to listen to every last word we say, but we know that's not true. So, we'll, you know, this way at least they'll know when we'll be on. Okay, so we are at the end of this month. This one went fast. Okay, so you have a show Monday, and we don't have a show Friday, right? We don't have any other show. So I have a show on, I have a show on the 4th. You don't have a show on that Friday, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. Barbara Watkins is on. A Good Story is a Good Story. Okay. Barbara Watkins is on, and Candace O'Donnell will be on A Good Story is a Good Story, which is on the 4th of October at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 7 Mountain, 6 Pacific. And then on the 11th, Bennett and I will be doing a horror show almost for Halloween. And that'll be on at 9 p.m. And then
we also on October 10th is the Stories for Children show on that Monday. We have author, I think it's, I'm going to look because I don't want to get it wrong. Camellia Matthews, she actually has written some middle grade novels for, mostly I'd say for girls because they're equestrian, they're on horses.
Sometimes we really don't get to do this, and you know we do this at the end, and as long as it's morning already, you know in the daytime we should just do this right now so we don't forget anything. Okay, so then.
Yeah.
All right, because we have a lot of, we really do have a lineup this month, a lot of shows.
Yeah, we do.
And,
October 14th is our What a Success show, and we're having, I'm going to look at that one too, because I don't want to confuse which author's what day. That's Kathy, I don't even know how to pronounce her last name, so I'm not going to even go there. She's a children's author. She's written quite a few picture books, so she'll be on. She's actually, we're not going to be talking about her picture books, even though she is a picture book writer. She also does a lot of work for hire as an author. So she's going to be sharing how you can build a freelance business doing work for hire as a writer or as an editor. So that's what that show will be on.
Well, that's it. Yeah. And then we have, we have on the 28th, which is celebrating Ree and R. Jeffries. Dancing with Bear Publishing, and so that'll be a good show. And that's and so I think that's it. I mean, we have a lot going on in October for shows, And
yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, we also
yeah.
had the Family Matters show on October 19th. And I think we're going to be talking to somebody about, I think we're talking about, oh my gosh, ADHD, but also, holy cow, I can't even think of it right now, another mental kind of disability that kids get, and I can't think of which one it was.
Okay, all right, so then, that's on your Family Matters. Right? Then we also, I think we're going to have this on Thursday. I'm having a special show on Thursday, October 13th. It's the breast cancer show. We had one last year, and we're going to have survivors of breast cancer to celebrate Breast Cancer Awareness Month, because there are still people that do not get mammograms that should be having them. But we're having survivors on, and Carol Purcell, who was on last year, who is a survivor of breast cancer, and she's a great speaker, and she's great. She'll come on again, and so that's a good thing. And we're going to, I'm probably going to put something out on Facebook, and if some people want to come in, you know, and talk about it. And it's always good to have survivors on, because it's happening to so many people everywhere, and in every city, every state, every country, there's just so much breast cancer now. So I think that we'll celebrate with survivors on the 13th, which will probably be at 9 p.m. Eastern. Okay, then we're going to talk to Bonnie, who is the author of Wedlocked, and she has so much in her bio. I'm going to let her talk to you, but this is going to be a really interesting show, because she's kind of been there, done that. She's done so many things, and the good thing is that she's very successful, and she is a very good writer, and we're going to let her come on right now and tell us all about herself, and then we're going to just have a discussion, because she's got so many interesting things that she does, and it will help a lot of writers out there, because everybody has questions on how to get published, what should happen, how do you market it, and she's done all of these things in a good way, and that's good. So let's meet the author of Wedlocked. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, and I know you're also a little sick too. Everybody's
yeah,
this is,
a little cold.
Yeah, this is actually the time when everybody starts getting sick now, so we hope both of you feel better. Do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into discussion about all the other things?
Sure. In June, I published my first novel called Wedlocked, and it's a romantic comedy based on my first disastrous marriage. But luckily, I was able to take a couple of years after the event and really make it funny and make it cathartic, and people have really been enjoying it. So it's been getting wonderful reviews, and I'm very excited about that. And prior to this, though, I was I worked at Book of the Month Club. I was a senior writer and copy chief, so I got so much exposure to the industry. And this was the traditional industry, so I kind of came from that with certain ideas of what was supposed to be. And interestingly, over just the last couple of years, I think there's been just an absolute revolution in publishing. So I went a different route and took control of it myself when I decided to do this. And I'm very glad I did. It's been such a learning curve, but it's so exciting, and it's just, you know, it's like the Wild West. It's just wide
right,
open.
Right, you know, and you could have had you had an agent, and you probably still do. I think you still have an agent.
Yes.
I don't know if you do or not. You still you have an agent, and you
mm-hmm.
have connection to publishers, but you chose this way. See, a lot of times people just think people self-publish or do their own publishing companies because
mm-hmm.
they couldn't get anybody else, but that really isn't true. It's just you have control now of what you do with your book.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that I saw that some of the comments from the publishers were things that I absolutely did not agree with. And as it turns out, I think I was right, because people have been telling me that the things that, you know, the publishers wanted to change or cut of my book were things they so enjoyed, and that
right,
it would have been crazy
okay.
to take it out of the book. So I don't really think that they're so in touch with what readers want. And I didn't want them lobotomizing my book.
Right.
But, you know, I did send it to just the top people. And then instead of going further, I decided to take control and self-publish.
Right,
and,
because you put in what you want. I mean, because sometimes you're
yes.
ruining the story. I mean, and
I think so.
Yeah,
they, you know, they
I
want
think
you to, they want you to think outside the box, but if you do, oh my God, that's
right.
different. That's not in the formula. What do we do?
That's right. See, that's the whole thing. They say they want different, but they end up with the same.
Exactly.
Which always
and they
happens.
Also they bank on only things that are known knowables. And you know, when it comes to who they publish, I mean, you could be illiterate and they'll publish your book if you're famous and on a television show.
Well, that's
so
exactly what happened. That could
that's
be
what's
what
been going on, you know.
And if you have enough money to get
self,
it in the stores, right? You can make you can put yourself as a bestseller because of the money that you have, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. That's
right,
what happens
right.
sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's you know, very discouraging for new writers to see how things are operating in those big companies, because they're really not looking for a good story, you know, and if you're an unknown author, you know, they just usually do not want to take a chance on you. It's
and they're
very,
missing a lot of good stories
hard.
Because of it. And they really are missing a lot of good stories, which is one of the reasons
that's
because
right.
I've done this for so long. I've named my show Good Story is a Good Story, because the truth is a good story should be told. And if you wait for publishers to pick you up, you may never get your story told, because you're going to just, it could sit there in a pile. Well, as you know,
mm-hmm.
they've what's happened lately is that they don't have the help that they used to. So the slush pile is probably just a pile. They probably put it in a pile. They probably just throw it out.
That's true.
Sometimes now, because they don't have a lot. They don't have a lot of people working there. They
That's
did.
That's true.
But they
mm-hmm.
don't know.
And the people who are working there, I don't know. They don't seem to be very good at choosing good books. I mean, I buy the books that they do publish, and I'm like, huh? They published this?
Because I think we've all, Virginia, I mean, all of us, you know, we go sometimes like, what is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
mm-hmm.
then you see somebody that has a really good book, and they can't get it published. And
right.
that's...
Well, look at the help. The help is, you know, I mean, that,
that's
you know,
the greatest
she went
example.
Through a crazy amount of
right.
people turning her down.
Right. And they made the movie, and now people, I mean, the story, it is a good story, and it should be told. And so that's
mm-hmm.
a good thing. She just kept going, you know, and mm-hmm. even with, you know, with Harry Potter, she did the same. She kept going, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
mm-hmm.
she had rejections. And it's just like sometimes there's somebody that might read your book and go like, you know what, I want to publish this. And actually what's happened to me now is there are a couple publishers newer publishers, and they are published authors from the past, and they are starting their own smaller companies so they can get some of these good stories out there. And now, after all these years, which I never thought I'm getting traditionally published, I am. And they're taking my books, and they're, you know, it's going to go under their name, and
mm-hmm.
we'll start all over again. And it's very interesting, because I actually gave up on that, because I figured, what's the difference? I just self-publishing, but they want to try some, you know, so we're doing it. And I'm hoping that a lot of these small publishers now stay out there, and they are traditional, and because I know a lot of people, they just can't afford to get self-published books done. And
it's like starting a business. It's like making
yes.
an investment.
And
you have to also
right.
say it's going to pay off later. It's not something that you're going to suddenly, you know, in the first couple of months become rich, unless, you know, your story goes viral or something. It's like a business investment.
You have to do press.
It takes so much, yeah. But the thing is that the publishers aren't really doing that much for the authors
right.
anyway. The authors are doing most of their own PR and
yeah.
social marketing. And so, you know, what are they
that's,
really
see,
doing
press.
For you?
They're not that much anymore. And see, that's the thing. We've had people on, and I've had a few people on that have been verbally, I mean, they really have said they don't get their royalties. I mean, I didn't say it. I mean, they're saying it about their publishers. They're not getting any PR. Okay, and there
really?
Are people that have done, yeah, they're not getting any help. And
mm-hmm.
the e-books came out, and so people are actually in control of the price of the e-book that
right.
they, if they want, if they're out there. And the traditional mm-hmm. publishers were a little late, so now they're, even a lot of the older books now, they're trying to put them out as an e-book because this is the market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think anybody thought it was going to go this fast. It's gone. Like,
well, I'm astonished about the e-books, you know. I mean, my husband kept telling me this is what it's going to be, and I'm like,
yeah.
well, I don't know, cause, you know. And I am selling so many more
yeah.
downloaded books. It's unbelievable how many people have Kindles and Nooks and iPads
yeah.
and whatever.
Well, after I talked to you, I went like, okay, fine, I'm going to read her book, and I just go in to the iPad, I order it, and there it is.
Yeah.
You know, and because sometimes you'll say something, oh, yeah, I want to read your book, and then a lot happens in life, and you forget to go. You're at the bookstore,
yeah,
you forget.
Yeah.
But now you can mm-hmm. just do it. And even,
in 2 seconds,
you know,
right?
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, I love it,
mm-hmm.
and I really do, and I think it's a great thing. And I think that the truth is we all, no matter who we are, we have to do PR. And it is the hardest. Virginia does a lot of book trailers. She does book tours. I mean, it's like, and I'm starting now to do, for people, I think I'm going to start doing press releases, because I think that's one of the most important things that they don't do. And they're not that expensive. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. a good thing to do, because it gets your name out. Like, I looked up you, you're out there. I mean, because mm-hmm. you've had a lot of book tours, though.
I had gone on a virtual book tour for this month and last month, and it was nonstop, you know, and working and doing interviews and doing, getting, you know, sending my book out for review and writing blogs that were guest blogs, and it really, I mean, like, exploded my name onto the scene. It was so amazing how the internet can be such an incredible tool for writers, you know. I mean, it's like the most important tool, I think, to become successful.
And so you think book tours are part of the thing that helps you be successful?
I do, but you know what? The traditional book tours, I think, are a waste of money. I think that there's a lot of times you spend the money on plane fare, and you go and,
oh, that,
you know,
that kind of, right.
the hotel,
the tours,
and then
right,
you go,
right,
and maybe
right.
nobody shows up, you know? I mean, it's a big investment for, you're not sure how many books you're going to sell, unless you're, you know, a very famous person. But virtual book tour, not only can you do it in your pajamas, which is perfect for me,
right.
but it's just so much, and it really, I think writers, are, you know, generally are, you know, used to being alone in a room with a computer, and they feel comfortable doing that. And so doing the marketing that way is a natural progression.
Yeah, you know, Virginia, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. And your book tours, I mean, you know, we've talked about this a lot of times. One of the problems is about book tours, and I think you don't do this because you are very active, Bonnie, but I think when you do a book tour, a book blog, and a book, you have to be active in it.
Oh, yeah.
You can't, and so...
Yeah. I would say I have a lot of authors who, I mean, because I do, you know, a lot of the, well, I do. I do the tweeting.
You do a lot of them.
I do LinkedIn. I do the event pages. You know, I do all that, but... You know, I've had a few authors who've done the tour. Not that they're unhappy with the tour that they've done with us. I mean, they're always like, oh, I've really enjoyed the tour, and I can tell, you know, there's been a lot of buzz with my name. And some of them, you know, yeah, I've sold some books. Some of them are like, well, I didn't really sell as many copies of books, but I had the buzz. And the ones who usually tell me they didn't sell that many books or no books at all, I have found, like, when I went to go visit their personal blog or if I'm friends with them on Facebook, like, nothing ever came up in the news feed of them posting about
mm-hmm.
their tour. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, you know, I'm only going to reach, you know, X amount of people, and it takes, you know, it's a combined effort.
Right,
you know,
the author
myself,
has to take the ball and run with it.
Yeah, you know, they have to post it as well. And same with,
mm-hmm.
you know, the hosting blogs. You know, I always tell people when they contact me to be a World of Ink tour host, I'm like, when it's your day to post, you need to send it out to your whole contact list to let them know that it's on your blog, not just put it on your blog and hope your readership shows up.
Right, right.
So what would you suggest then? How would they send it out to? What are some of the suggestions that Bonnie, what would you say that they should do also? And Virginia, what would you say?
I have.
Go ahead.
Facebook is a great tool. Twitter is an even better tool when you're trying to reach people you don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I had somebody train me on Twitter. I had no clue all the things that it entailed, you know.
What did they say when they trained you? What did they tell you to do?
Well, they just taught me all these different tricks of the trade and what, you know, gets the most attention and how to get a bigger following. And, I mean, just so many different things. I had a wonderful
teacher. I found you on
Twitter.
That's where I found you
mm-hmm.
on Twitter, and I saw what you did, and I said, oh, she did the book club, and I thought this was
uh-huh.
so interesting, and that's
uh-huh.
how I found you, and that was because I read that book that I think I told you about, that John Locke. He said, go on Twitter, and I was on Twitter, but not in the right way, and I'm trying to do, I just, every day I keep saying, I'm going to have time to do all this, and then I don't, okay, but
it
I want
to. It does take
do
a lot of time.
Yes.
It does, and I've been spending, you know, days and nights. You know, it's like addictive almost, because one thing leads to another, leads to another, leads to another, but you meet so many people. I've hooked up with so many wonderful authors. We're now doing a launch of one author's book. And there's 25 or 30 of us who are going to be marketing her book and each other's books through a website. I mean, this is what I mean about reinventing the wheel with publishing. It's just a whole new world of how to get your name out there.
Yes,
and Twitter,
I
mean, Twitter is just an amazing tool. I mean, I've just been on for like less than 2 months. I already have 400 followers or so, 430 followers.
Are you on
followers.
Twitter Deck? Are you on Twitter Deck? Because I heard that was a good one.
Twitter Deck?
Yeah, no. That's what I heard. I don't know what I have to go in and see. Yeah, so, you know, see, the
something
thing is
new
it
for me to
time.
Look up.
Yeah, Twitter Deck.
I'm still working out this.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
I'm
you
still
got
learning
400 people. Right, you got 400.
I mean, 430 followers now, and I haven't been on that long, but it's like the more tentacles you put out there, the more people are exposed to you, the more, you know, I mean, it's just, and then if you hook up with people who are really good at helping others, because not everybody,
yeah.
you know, is going to be selfish. There's a lot of people that really want others to do well, too, and you know, they
yeah,
help out.
That's
and
how it is
you,
with the World Castle. The World Castle that I'm publishing, well, the book is published now. It's Feel the Passion, and everybody is helping everybody else, and they're so great.
It's wonderful.
I mean, it's really nice, and I think in the other my children's books are going with Dancing with Bear, and they're all starting to do that now. And this is really what needs to do. Everybody start helping each other.
Yes.
So Virginia
yes.
and I have said this forever that because Virginia and I usually. For the last couple of years, we know each other, and we are trying to help each other get out there and everybody else. But what happens is,
mm-hmm.
like, let's say we're having a show, and they're on the show, and we say, like, okay, tell people you're on the show. They don't even tell people, and this is their time.
See, that's the thing is that people don't understand how much the responsibility is theirs to get, you know, they think other people will do it for them. And they don't. A lot of people don't have a concept of how important social marketing is. And until they do, I think they're really going to stunt their growth because it, you know, you just can't reach as many people any other way.
Yeah, I think there's no way you can reach as many people. I mean,
no.
you know, and well, we're talking right now. I would not have if I didn't go on there. I would not have
yeah.
met you probably. And
that's right.
Because,
that's right.
You know, and on Facebook though, you don't. You meet people, but not the same way with Twitter. Twitter's different.
Right.
In that.
Right.
You know,
well, they
you
say
do
it's very
chance.
Interesting. My friend told me, and you may have heard this, that Facebook is for people you used to know, LinkedIn is for people you know, and Twitter is for people you want to know. And it's so true.
All right. That's good. Yeah. And it's short and sweet. It's short and sweet, and it's to the point, you know.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And it gets out there fast. And if people
mm-hmm.
retweet you, then... they're getting it. See, that's
yeah,
the point.
Right.
That's what Facebook, what has happened to Facebook, and I think, you know, in the matter of a month, which I, you know, they have changed so many things. Every day you go on there, and it's like, okay, now you do this, now you do that. And
I know. Well, now they're revamping everything, so everybody's confused.
Yeah,
but it is still more of a thing where it's more personal.
Yeah.
You know, to friend someone, then you have to accept. In Twitter, right. you follow, and the person can follow you back or not. You know, it's a lot easier and a lot, you know, less.
So every time you get
scary.
Somebody, you go follow them as soon as you get that. You follow them.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as somebody sends you something, you follow them, right?
No,
if they send you a tweet,
most.
Or do not. Most.
There,
okay.
I mean,
yeah,
there
most
are some spammers and there are some people,
yeah.
you know, that. But, you know, but
yeah,
you know, I'm
so,
meeting
right.
so many authors, and I love having those connections with other authors because I feel like we're all in this together. We're all,
we are.
You know,
and we
at,
are. We are.
Yeah, and we're all, like, in the basement of this new house, and we're building it, you know, and
yeah.
everyone's sort of, like, it's trial and error. And but it's very exciting, and I love
it
the
is.
Support system. I love it.
I do, too. I think it's great. And the e-books are... they are, it's just going to be hotter and hotter. And I think really now, certainly with Christmas, Hanukkah, and everything, everybody, these
mm-hmm.
are the gifts that are people going to give people now. And I think that Barnes & Noble came out with another Nook.
Oh,
I
think yeah.
they just, I think that's
and
I
know Kindle came
Amazon.
Out with a Nook. Kindle came out with something brand new called Kindle Fire, which
oh,
is like an iPad, only smaller.
Yeah, that
and
must
color
be
and everything. Mm-hmm.
And I think all the, I mean, it's unbelievable. Well, they didn't have color before. See, that was the whole thing. And with children's books, without color, you need to have that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not
you
good.
Know. Yeah, no. So Well, I think they did it because, well, Harry Potter's coming out, too. So, I mean,
and you can download
looking.
Movies on this new thing, you know? I mean, you can watch movies.
Yeah, I know.
It's
you can
remarkable.
Do everything. Right, you know, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of the younger kids now, they just use their cell phone and they use their computer and they watch TV. I mean, they can do everything on there. So now it's not a question of other things. You know, once you have all these things, and certainly if you have an iPad, you could do everything with it. And so,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the world has changed, especially when
yeah,
the schools are going to do this now.
Yeah, well, the kids have play dates on the computer. I mean, it's like they hang out with their friends on the computer, a whole bunch of them. It's like, you know, something out of a futuristic movie almost.
Yeah, well, all of this is because nobody ever, like I had people on like last year and before the iPad really got crazy in the Nook, and people said, oh, it's going to take like 4 or 5 years, and then all of a sudden it came out and it went crazy. I mean, because people were saying, oh, it might not make it and it's going to be a few years till it really gets, but that's not true because a lot of people, and the most interesting thing is a lot of people that didn't think they were going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And they also can read it on the computer. So, you know,
right.
And it is like we talked about before, when I talked to you, you know, before you were on the show, it's less money when you buy the books that way. Instead of spending,
and there's so many inexpensive books now. My book right now is $1.99. I lowered the price as a promotion to introduce myself as a new author. There's so many people who are selling books at that price or a little more, a little less, and it's a wonderful way for brand new authors to say, hey, check me out, and you know you're not losing much. $1 or $2, and then you start a following. If you like me, you'll come back for the other books.
Well, that's the thing. And you're writing another book, and you've got another book coming out, though, right? You have another book coming out.
I have two more books on the way. One is another romantic comedy and novel, and that's in the final editing. And the other one is a humorous gift book called The Fine Art of Delusional Thinking, and it's a parody of all those like creative visualization books, Laws of Attraction, you know. So it kind of pokes fun a little bit at it, but
that's good. People like those, and that's so you made it a gift book. So that and so where do you think you're going to put? Well, you'll put it naturally on ebook. And do you have an idea what?
But it'll be
that?
Actual. Yeah, I'm probably going to do hardcover and soft cover of it.
Yeah.
It's the kind of book that it should be on a stand when you're on checkout and you can't resist it because you know somebody who's just going to, you know, in your life that will be absolutely appreciative of it. Can relate.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, I read, you know, when I was reading your book, I mean, I have romantic comedies that are screenplays. One is actually in an option right now. And I'm wanting to do what I want because it's the screenplay, because I know you've done screenplay, and it's such an impossible market. I mean, you know, about money, you know. But the thing is, to make them into books, this is what I think I want to do, because I do think people like to read something funny, you know.
Uh-huh.
And
I do, too.
Yeah,
especially with all those very dark books out there, you know. There's so many really great books, but they're so depressing. And sometimes you just need a break, and you want something that's, you know, not stupid and fluffy, but just something that you can chuckle at and, you know, just get lost in.
Just have a good time reading it.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
a perfect vacation read.
Yeah, and sometimes, and sometimes when you're, you know, you're talking about family, you know, it doesn't really matter what religion, because what's happening is you just kind of relate to it. You're like, oh, my God, my mother's like this, my father, you know what I mean? And it's like, my family.
Right.
And I think people like that, and, you know, and I think that I'm glad to hear that you're doing more of them, because I think that there really are a lot of dark books. But you did say one thing, and we talked at the time about Doubleday. They're having mostly thrillers now. Is that where they're going?
Yes, Book of the Month Club. That's what I was told, is that really folk. I mean, I remember that suspense was a big thing for them, but they also had a wide variety of books other than that. But I guess they're really narrowing it down, you know. I mean, things have changed so much. I'm surprised they're still there. I mean, with so many layoffs.
Well, what do you think about, like, I mean, I've mentioned this, Virginia, and we all, you know, Virginia has a lot of authors that she has done blog tours for and everything, and I'm thinking, like, it would be nice if there was some way to make, like they used, like with Doubleday, a book club where people could just know that the books in that club would be good books. They've already been checked out. They're not just going to be books that are not going to be good. So, I mean, what do you think about that, of something like that happening now? I mean, I just think it would be great.
Well, the thing is that model has been in existence for a long time, but because it really hasn't, you know, updated it's kind of, I think it's may die out with the people who are in those clubs.
So what do you think would be a newer version of that? How do you think that would be? What kind of, do you have any
ideas? I guess it would have to be, you know, like a more, you know, a website where you could download books that, you know, and just maybe more specialized. I mean, where I was at Bookspan, you know, we had
many
book clubs. One was a spiritual book club, one was suspense, you know, club, one was related to African Americans, one was for gay stories.
Right.
Well, I mean, they really specialized in a lot of different places. But for some reason, and then everyone thinks it was a great idea, but for some reason it was very hard to do well in a lot of them.
Yeah, see, that's why, I mean, I keep thinking that I wish there was something like that, because it just seems to me that that would be, because I think a lot of times when people are on Amazon now, or, you know, it's just, or Barnes & Noble, there's just so many books they have, you know. And
it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm.
Right, and it is. And it's, you know, and because there are so many self-published books that really shouldn't have been published, I mean, that's just how it is. They shouldn't have been, but they are.
Yes.
You know, and there are so many books that are self-published that are good, so that is crowding the market. And people,
well,
then, yeah, go ahead.
What's good about Amazon is that you do get reader reviews.
Yeah.
So, you know, that can help a little bit if other people have already read the book. But, you know, you can't always. I mean, everybody has their own opinion, and it's very
subjective. That's right. That's the whole thing about it, because, you know, and sometimes, you know, like years ago, they were reviewers. You know, Fran Lewis reviews good, and Virginia reviews also, and Bennett Pomeranz reviews, and they've been doing this for years. Now, but the thing is, people don't realize sometimes that somebody that is reviewing their book is just, it could have been the first book they ever read.
Right.
So I think that people have to realize, like you just said, it's an opinion.
Right.
You know,
it's just an opinion. And you never know where this person's coming from.
Well,
I mean, I had a review that liked my book, but she actually made a comment, and I was like blown away by it, that that she was uncomfortable with the fact that there was premarital sex in the book. And I was like, you're a reviewer and that bothers you? How many books don't have that in it?
Right.
I mean, you never know what's going to strike people. Maybe some, you know, maybe she was very religious and it bothered her. But it was not like it was, you know, most people wouldn't even notice
anything about that. And, you know, and I do a lot of shows with romance writers, and I love them. I mean, because they're so fun. I mean, and they're making money, and they're great. And, you know, they do have a story. You know, a lot of times they're thinking, oh, it's a... But a lot of them have very good stories, and it's not all sex, you know. And they just go, okay, we're not going to read these books. But that's really not fair, because they're not even giving it a shot. And they're really good. So I think that what's happened is there's nobody out there, like, monitoring now. So it's like, it's a free-for-all, actually, is what it is. And
that might be a new thing, too, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Book of the Month Club is pretty much that's what that was supposed to be, and
what
it was
exactly
for
right.
a very long time. And, you know, maybe there just needs to be an updated model of that. I mean, that has the name,
think,
you know.
I just actually can't do it one more thing, but I would like to. I do, in my next life,
I think I can do it.
You know, I mean, you know, I do like 4 million things already, and I'm trying to cut down so I can actually
sleep.
Do my sleep who sleeps. I didn't sleep that much last night. I'm thinking to myself, well, then I'll be tired during the day, but see, I'm not tired now. See, that's the problem. And then, you know, well, of course I had coffee at 11 o'clock at night, which was not smart, but I wanted to be up, you know,
because
I had so much to do, you know.
And we all do,
and that's the other thing I did talk about the other night, is all this marketing is exhausting mentally. And I don't get tired, but, you know, this is because it's busy work, and I don't like busy work.
Right, it is
really
busy
don't.
Work, and it's endless. It's endless, and it's like a digression. You know, one thing leads to another, and it just, you know, you never know where you're going to end up, and then you forgot what you were even there to do in the first place because you got, sidetracked.
And I'm like, who was I going to look up? Because then along the way, I saw five other people that I went and I started doing something with. And I'm thinking, like, wasn't I supposed to? And then, you know, who was that? I wanted to email them, you know. And it's like, and then you just get, you do really get carried away. I mean, and that is what happens.
All of a sudden it's like 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, how'd that happen, you know?
Oh, I know that. I know that. And like, when I go like this, okay, it's 12 o'clock. Oh, good, I have like a couple more hours. And it goes like so fast. I usually
my husband's
like
turn off the computer,
yeah,
turn off
I know,
the computer.
Yeah. See, my husband goes to bed really earlier, a lot earlier. So then I'm there, and then so one night he says to me, "Were you talking to someone?" Because it was like 1 o'clock, and then I go, "Yeah, I was." And actually, I just told Virginia that I was talking to someone, and I didn't realize that I have unlimited, okay, but I didn't realize not to Canada. You know, you were on the phone for over like an hour, so it's like $125.
Oh my God!
I went. There was like more because we have a special thing. I go like, oh my God! I said, and I didn't call because I know my Verizon bill has money added in this, and I'm thinking, oh, this is what happened now. I didn't realize.
That's
so I had
scary.
To go. Virginia just told me before that you can get different packets. I didn't know. I've called
yeah.
Canada before, but not for an hour and a half. Or whatever.
Yeah,
I
know. I haven't thought about long distance problems because I've had unlimited for so long. But
I do too. It's just so
they have different packages for their unlimited packages can vary.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Because I've had unlimited for so long, I just didn't realize we were just chit-chatting about everything, and we're like, oh my God, I really had no idea. So now I'll have to check this out. I better check that. But yeah, we can't have $100 phone calls. You know, and you're also in something that's a reader circle. I thought that
yes,
was kind of interesting.
I haven't had done too much traffic from that.
What is that?
It's a website that helps connect readers groups with authors who can appear at their groups.
You mean
and
through a webcast?
Yeah, through
a website, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I have actually had better luck just finding these groups on my own. I just went to a book club where I drove there because it was like an hour away and I was able to drive. And, you know, it was like 20 or 22 women all in their 50s and 60s.
How was that?
It was wonderful. I had such a good time. They brought in food, and they all sat around, and we talked, and they asked me, you know, because they'd all read the book. They asked me questions because they found out when I told them at the very beginning of the night that a lot of the things in the book were either truth or based in truth. And I heard, which is, you know,
yeah.
And then all the questions started. Did this happen? Did that happen? What happened? You know, because they want to know the real story. They want to know what led to this, because it's exciting that it was spurred from real events. And I find that that's really makes for great book club discussion. So now I've actually put out feelers, and I have like two other book clubs that are planning to read my book and a couple of others that people are trying to
get.
So you went
to the book clubs and asked them?
I went there,
yeah.
But I'm going to get Skype so that I can go out of state to book clubs and just, you know, video
chat. Yeah, I heard that that's something else people can do now, right? Because I think, you know, I had heard that was not a bad idea now because you can do a whole little group discussion and be in another city. So that's probably, so I think I might get Skype too, because I think that changes all, because you can't, right, because, you know, it changes because, you know, you really can't go all over the place because it does cost a lot of money to travel. And plus you'd be in the airports for so many hours waiting.
Yeah,
it's
crazy. I mean, some people just have your phone in too, but I think it's better to see that, you know, face-to-face is nice.
See, I wonder if that's something also to do maybe with kids' books, too. I was thinking maybe, that sounds interesting for everything, to start doing that.
Well, it also makes it special. People are more engaged with getting the book and reading the book if they know they're going to meet the author, you know?
See, I think so, too. And I think, you know, I've talked about this before, and, like, I know Scholastic is in all the schools, and that's really fine. And they have their book fairs, but the kids like to see the authors. And adults like to meet authors. And the bookstores, I think, right across the line, I was in a bookstore, and I said, you know, they said, you have to do PR. I said, don't worry about it. I can do that, whatever. And I didn't call them back yet. But the fact of the matter is, they have nothing to lose. And instead of saying no, so they said, oh, you know, we want you to email. I'm thinking, like, yeah, they want me to email it. They'll tell me no over the email. So what's the, you know, you know, and they want to tell me face to face. I can handle rejection. So, like, you know, so I didn't, I will take care of it. But the thing is that a lot of times now they're just going no, straight across, because they're not being smart, because they can have actually some author come in there and they get business. And these smaller bookstores,
the people are very short-sighted.
Yeah, I think so, right. And I think that's one of the things. If people start saying yes, then make like the book clubs, I think that's an interesting thing. So you enjoyed it. It was fun. And
it really was. It was a really, really fun night. And I met so many great women. And a lot of women who, you know, it's funny because I initially thought my book would be, you know, 25, you know, the age group would be maybe 25 to, you know, 55 or something. I was wrong. These women in 50s and 60s and even older really loved the book. And I think what they related to even more than some of the younger people is the idea that, you know, these are women that stayed in marriages maybe that weren't, because it was not the thing to do.
Yeah.
Divorce was not
right.
prevalent, and they stayed. And this was almost like a fantasy of what if, you know?
Right.
And,
Because you know
really,
what, though?
You said
Prince Charming.
What's that?
You equate with Prince Charming, because the truth of the matter is, even when I go to the schools for little kids, they're still, girls still want, like, the Prince Charming. They think he's coming and riding in the horse.
Yeah.
I mean, he's coming and he's going to take them away from everything.
Well, that's a chapter in my delusional book. It's called Someday Your Prince Will Come.
We changed the name to that. Like, now that's the one, actually, that was options. It's called Romancing Gracie now, but its original title was Prince Charming, because it was about a woman that just doesn't believe that there is such a thing, you know, and she actually does find a great guy. But the fact is that people still believe that, and, you know, and it happens. I mean, they do, and, you know, that's good. It's
people,
your new book.
People
okay.
can be a little unrealistic in what their expectations are, you know. It's like, there's just certain qualities that you may look for in a man, and certain things go along with that type of man that you're not necessarily interested in, you know.
Right, you use the
if you're looking
that,
for
like,
Mr. Studley or Mr.,
yeah,
you know, you know, sexy and cool and all that stuff, chances are good that he's not going to really be a great partner that communicates well with you. I mean, you can't have everything, you know. Unless you write a book, then you can create whatever you want, which is the greatest thing, I think, about writing a book, because you can make the perfect characters, you know.
Well, that's the thing,
in another alternate universe.
I've noticed another thing, too, that happens, which, I haven't read your book like Marsh has, but and I run into this all the time with my husband, so here I am, I'm bringing up my family. But my husband had this crazy idea when we got married that I guess it was going to be like the whole 50s sitcom version of marriage. Because he walked home from work, and I'd be like, you know, this was back before I was writing, and it's not even better now that I write. But when I was a buyer in fashion, I'd be really tired. I'd come home from commuting on the freeways in L.A., and I'd be really super tired. He'd walk in the door from work thinking I was going to sit there and jump off the couch, throw my arms around him every day, give him a kiss, and go, "Hi, honey, I'm so glad you're home." And I'm like, "What fantasy are you from, buddy?" And then he thought when I quit work and I'd start, you know, being the stay-at-home mom, which, of course, I started writing, he thought that would happen still. And I'm just like, what part of 8 years of being married to me have you not realized? This is not going to happen.
Hand him a martini and tell him dinner's in the oven.
Well, exactly.
Right. That's the kind of characters I have. I add those in my characters where that you have, like, a man comes in. You know, he's like your house guy, I guess you call him, you know. And I like that. And they serve you dinner. You know, I never thought I would care about that, but I think that's not a bad idea. Someone drive you places, because everybody says, "Why do you have limos in yours?" I said, "I don't know. I live in Chicago. There's a lot of limos, you know." And, I think it's not a bad thing, especially if it's bad weather. You get in a limo and somebody takes you somewhere. You don't have to worry somebody, you know. And, you know, I just think that people still like to believe in those kind of things. And, you know, I don't drink, but I have, like, characters, you know, bringing in their drink, and, you know, they're talking with them, and, you know, and they're kidding around with them. And I think that's not such a bad thing to have somebody in your house. You know, years ago I would never have said that, but I'm thinking, like, sometimes it's okay. You don't feel like going out to eat. There's going to be somebody here cooking. Especially when your kids grow up, you don't always, you know, cook like you did before. You know, and bake, because I used to, when my son was little, I was home all the time, and I baked. And now I'm never home, you know. And
well, I have stepchildren that don't eat, so I don't have to worry about it.
Well, that's a good thing. Where did you get that?
I've never seen them all three eat the same thing at the same time. So I just gave up.
Well, what do you serve them? Whatever they want, right?
We call in a lot when they come over.
That's my house. Don't feel bad. My two younger daughters are very finicky. And I kid you not, when my husband is home for dinner, the comment out of his mouth is, "This isn't Denny's, everybody," because they all are like, "Mom, I want this. Mom, I want that." And I'm just like, "Yeah, I'm so glad."
Well, these are kids that you say you'll take them to a restaurant. No, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I can't even win with that. It's like, I used to love going out for dinner. What do you mean you're tired?
Well, the good thing is now they have the iPad and they have the phone. They're very quiet now in the restaurants, kids, because they're busy.
Yeah,
they're very busy. And this is good.
Well, these kids were always pretty good in public places, which thank God for that, because I'm the kind of person that I go in a restaurant, if there's a baby screaming, I'm like, I'm out of here. I just can't take it.
Well, I was funny. We were with friends of ours, and somebody said, and then the girls were going out, so we went out. So then there was a table of babies, and I don't care. I work for a pediatrician, so I can talk right over. And Virginia knows this because I don't care. Her babies, but I don't care. And it's like my friends look and they go, "No, could you please move us?" To the opposite side when they saw the kids. I'm thinking, okay, you know, but the truth is, I know people are not that comfortable, but kids got to get out, you know. It depends what kind of restaurant, too. You know, if it's a fast food or if it's like a deli or something like that, it's so loud in there anyway, it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I think people are now realizing that women don't just cook, sit home and cook, and, you know, and,
right.
and they're tired and they do things. Yeah,
right.
It does take time. Ordering out doesn't. But the bad thing is some of the food isn't so great. You know, I mean.
What's funny is my husband, if he comes home and there's actually like, heated up hot dogs and a can of baked beans, he's like, "Oh, thank you for making dinner."
Well, that's good. See, you made the right choice.
That's like cooking for me now.
That's really good. My dad used to do that. My mother would say, "Fine, he'll eat anything." And he did, because he would come home later, and even if it was burnt, he'd eat it. He didn't care, and that was a good thing. We sometimes
went
out.
And if I don't eat it, he'll eat cereal, you know. I mean, he's not, you know.
Well, that's good.
Not big
that's
on
a
that,
good thing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. Good training. You get good training there, you know.
Oh, you have
something that's really cute, and it's called, you use the phrase romantically bankrupt.
Yeah.
That's like a good phrase.
You know what? That came about by actually feeling that way. I had been out there for so many years, you know, at that point in the book, about, you know, over 15 years, and, you know, dated so many people, joined dating services, been on, you know, two different coasts, met so many different men, and it just got to the point when you have that hope, and then it gets dashed, hope, dash.
Yeah.
And after 15 long years of that, you just give up sometimes, like, at that point.
Oh, people do. No, I've heard that.
And that's the feeling of being bankrupt. It's like, I'm just done. I'm just empty. I've got no more strength anymore. And then, interestingly, that's when someone comes along.
See, that's the thing. Right. And that when you're not looking, sometimes this is what happens. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes you're looking so hard, you know, I don't know, did you ever watch Millionaire Match, the matchmaker, you know, Patty. And, you know, it's very interesting because you'll watch the people on there and you watch these guys and they are, some of them aren't fabulous looking and they're fine. They're probably nice guys, but they want a woman to be the gorgeous, thin, do this,
yes,
do that,
yes,
and
yes.
It's like everything has got to be on a certain list, and sometimes she looks at them, and I really like her, she says, get real. I mean, you know, like, you need to...
You want to hear something funny? Last week I was watching it, and I never really watch it. I mean, I catch it once in a blue moon. I happen to be flipping channels, and I turn it on like, oh, my God.
Well, I take it, and I don't always get to watch it.
The Millionaire Bachelor... I dated him.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
That's funny. Has he changed
any? No, I mean, the thing is, like, he had the same company, which I, at the time that I dated him, I guess, you know, it was doing well, but it wasn't a millionaire. And I, you know, I guess in the interim, all these years later, because it's been, like, about 8-9 years, he's been dating all these models, because it's like... you know, his business, he exposes to all these models. So he's dating all these beautiful models and everybody's, you know, gorgeous. But, you know, he wants something, someone with substance.
Yeah, right.
So she finds him a beautiful girl who's also has a brain in her head. And he went on a date. He actually, I was proud of him. He did all the things she told him to do, and he had a nice date, and he asked her out again. So
well,
good for him.
Some of them, you can see what happens to some of them, because sometimes they change, like, you know, before they pick them, and then all of a sudden when they go on their date, that's what could happen. You know, it could be a disaster or not, you know. But I think it's kind of interesting, you know, how they, you know, they have such expectations of what they want. You know, and rather than just let it happen, it's like they have a list.
I know. And the thing is that when you're a semi-attractive man with a lot of money, you can have your pick of the litter.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a man shortage. There really, really is. And I know, you know, so many great women who settle for these, like, nothing with nothing men because there's nobody else.
Yeah.
And it's, in, you know, it's almost like you have to wait for someone to be getting out of a bad marriage and pounce, you know, because it's just like the ones that are on the markets these days are usually there for a good reason. So,
sometimes, you know, this is kind of weird, but it is something that actually you've seen in movies. And actually, you know, I was at a funeral, and I really was very upset because it's someone I really cared about. It was, you know, someone we were in a group together for fighting cancer, actually. And so this man comes up to me. I was with my husband, but he was standing somewhere else. We were out, you know, in the cemetery. So this guy starts asking me, he said, comes over to me, and he's asking me if I play bridge. I'm thinking, like, what are you doing? I mean, he's, like, trying to talk to me while we're in the middle of a funeral. And I'm thinking, like, go away. Yeah, I looked at him. I go, no, you don't know me from anywhere. I don't play bridge. I mean, what kind of, you know, that's where people meet people. You know, apparently. But I'm like thinking myself, what is he doing? You know, I'm thinking, bridge?
Didn't he wait till you got to the house and you were, like, having coffee or something?
I didn't go to the house at that time. I went the next day. But it was interesting that he just started talking about, aren't you in a bridge club? I go, no, I don't think bridge is for me, you know. I'm thinking, no. And I'm thinking, and my husband, he was in another spot. I didn't even see him. I'm thinking, like, oh, you know, I'm thinking, what is going on here? But, I mean, that is, you know, you've seen it on TV where people, that's where they meet people. You know, a lot of women go looking. I mean, this is unfortunate, but they do right away. And this
is
what happens in life.
Yeah,
it's very hard, you know. And I think that, you know, a lot of women just feel, you know, I've been married for a lot of years, but a lot of women feel they are not complete until they're married. And so they have to complete their life, whether they're happy or not.
Right, right.
I know people that have done that, and even if they get divorced, they at least feel that they were married.
Uh-huh. Well, that's kind of where my character was at. It's just like she just had to be married already.
Well, that's
she
the
just
thing.
Couldn't take it anymore.
Right.
And you with know, all the pressure that surrounds you, you know, people, like, feeding into that, and, you know, it's almost like, you know, they're bolstering your wrong ideas about things.
Right.
You know, it's easy for you to make a bad decision.
And sometimes, because I have done characters, you know, like some of yours, because I just, you know, because this is what, you know, after they get married, they're like, look around, like, what am I doing here? Or even beforehand, they really don't want to get married when they're walking down that aisle. And instead of just turning back because you spend so much money on a wedding, your parents are going to kill you and, you know, everybody's there.
Right.
And what
you
do
it.
Right, and so you go through with it, and then like a month later, you're back at home. I mean, I know when we were kids, I know one of the neighbors, my father was out talking to them. I go, what was going on? And they just were at her wedding. Well, she was back the next day, you know, and she knew it.
It's happened so much, and people don't even realize it. One of the women that was in the book club came to me later, and she said, when I was walking down the aisle, my father said to me, it's not too late to change your mind. And she goes, yes, it is. And she did it. And she was miserable.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
See, that like sums it all up. The truth is, it isn't too late, you know, because sometimes you can't think about, I mean, but it does cost a lot for a wedding and a lot of planning goes into it, and you don't want to leave somebody at
standing
there because, you know, you see that scene, and it's a bad scene, you know. It's in a movie, but it happened. See, that's one of the things. A scene in a movie is what someone probably saw somewhere. I mean, it's not far from the truth. That's why when you talk to these women, it was probably interesting because they're talking to you because you've been through an experience that a lot of them mm-hmm. we're through. I mean, it's, you know, that's what happens, and that's how friendships are made, and, you know, because it's similar circumstances.
Right.
So, and I think that's a good idea, though, what you were saying, though, about the book clubs and doing something like that, because I think it's reaching out to people, and even if you, it's like 20 people, you might want to reach out to more at a time, but if you reach out to 20 people and they like your book, then they'll tell other people.
Exactly, right. It's
and
like
it's doing something.
Effect.
See, mm-hmm. Right, and if you're on Facebook, the truth of the matter is most of the people on Facebook are not going to buy your book. They're going to look at your video and say, oh, this is good, good luck,
mm-hmm.
we love you,
mm-hmm.
you're great, and
right.
they don't get your book. But
that's true.
When you're, yeah, and so people are relying on that one thing. And so I know Virginia and I have talked about this all the time because we've had so many guests on, PR people, and we've had a lot of people. And no matter the truth is, if you're traditionally published, if you're non-traditionally, if you're wherever you get your book published, it doesn't mean you're going to be successful. You have to go out and do, and you are one person that has done a lot of stuff. And that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you
yeah,
knew you had
you know
to do
what?
It,
it makes you stronger because when you've handled so many different things, you aren't as afraid of facing the unknown because you figure, okay, I've done all this. I'm sure whatever comes my way, I'll be able to figure out too. So it empowers you.
Right. I think it does. And I think that in some ways when you write a book, you don't realize what comes next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had this guy, Michael Davison, he was on a couple, 2 weeks ago, and he wrote, he's been writing, he does actually some very nice, sweet romance, some very nice stories, and he's a very interesting guy. And he's got a video that, you know, I don't think it's out yet, but it's, you know, you wrote a book, now what? I mean, that you got to do something. I mean,
yeah,
and I
yeah.
think no matter who you're with, you have to save. I think most of the time people think it does cost a lot of money for PR people, or if you order, you know, if you get a PR firm. But there are people that can do specific things for you.
Right, right.
That, you know, and I'm just trying with it's a company called Sizzling PR, which is going to go for my field of passion. I'm going to go on the blog tour. And I made a mistake when Virginia did mine. I was too busy and I did not go in on everything, and that was a mistake because she does a great book, you know, tour, and I like missed it. I started and then I got busy and I didn't, and that is what happens to people. They get busy and they mm-hmm. don't do it. And if you don't
right.
do it, it can't be successful.
Well,
so
I'll just tell you, anyone who's going to self-publish, if you're not going to put in the time, don't bother.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
you just, it's going to be a waste.
Even if you're traditionally published, don't be mad at your publisher if you don't sell any books.
Right, right.
Because you're not helping either.
I mean, at least they get you into the bookstores, but,
yeah.
you know, if you're not going to, if you don't want to market, and it's sad because a lot of writers are, you know, they like to write. So they, you know,
we all
it's
do.
Not
that's
that they're
the
not
thing.
Marketers.
I,
they don't.
Right. This is
so
busy work
but
for
you
writers.
Have to be.
Yeah, but we have to do it. But the one thing is, though, is limiting the amount of time for the busy work, because I myself have to limit the amount of time now because
yes.
I realize now. But, I, you know, listen, we've all tried. These are very new things that everybody that we're doing, you know, Facebook, Twitter. But you have to limit your time because otherwise you'll be working 24 hours.
Right.
You can't.
And I mean, haven't had time to write, and you know, on this book tour, I haven't had time to write my own projects. I get so caught up, and now I have to put my foot down. Starting this week, I started to work on my projects and set aside time for that and not get distracted with all the emails and the dings and the, you know.
And that,
it's so easy
and
to
I
do
just
that.
I look at the emails and I go, oh my God, I cannot believe this, and you know, and then I go, I'm not going to do them, and then 5 minutes later I end up back and
yeah.
okay, I'll do it.
Let
you
me
know,
just check to
what
see
if
anybody's
looking
for
me. Right? And I scroll down, I'm going like somebody, you know, and actually some of them were important, and I have to do them, so I can't ignore them, and so
uh-huh.
and I don't want to ignore people, and the thing is, I just. You know, Virginia, do you still do what you did before, whereas you don't go on as much, like in the day?
I have 2 days a week that I have designated as my yeah. offline working, is what I call it, because, oh my gosh. For me, it's very different. For me, it's really different compared to other authors, because besides the fact that I'm a children's author, I'm also an editor and a freelance editor. And what I mean by that is, you know, obviously I'm the chief editor and owner of
your magazine.
Publishing, so I have the magazine, and then I do freelance editing where I actually have other publishing houses or people who are going to self-publish their books who contact me to edit their work. So So the second they see me on, especially if I'm logged into like one of my social network sites, the emails just start up, the chat boxes start popping up on my computer, and it's like almost I basically spend my whole time responding to emails and little like Google chat or MSN chat or whatever else that pops up, and nothing else gets done. I've pretty much put my own personal writing on hold for the next couple of years, just because I don't have time to write anymore. And so for me as a book author, I'm like, my career is on hold because I'm trying to get my company going, and that's where my focus needs to be. But
it's hard. It's very hard. My husband said, set aside at least like 3 hours a day that you know it's just going to be creative time to work on your projects.
I know. You know what I used to do? I used to just go to Starbucks and sit there because then I didn't have any interruptions.
You get the internet there, though.
I know that, but see, I know.
Just don't bring your laptop.
During the hurricane.
Yes. I mentioned it before where I just want to get a computer without any internet, you know, so I could just write, you know.
I know.
I want you to give your website because it's almost an hour went fast. Yeah. I want you to give your website where they can buy your books.
Okay. It's www.bonnietrachtenberg.com. Trachtenberg is spelled TrachtenBerg. And it's available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. It's available on Books A Million. If you're in the on Long Island area, I'm going to be having a book signing October 13th at 7 p.m. at the Book Review in Huntington. They have my book. And if you're on the South Shore, Cedarhurst Blue Door Books has the book. And
that's good. I mean,
and then probably a lot of other places that I won't, start rambling.
Well, it's on your website, your events.
All the connections. Yeah, all the main connections are on my website. And if you go into Barnes & Noble, and they'll order it for you also. And but I've got most people are on the internet, so it's much easier to do that.
But if you go look up
my book on Amazon, you'll get to see a lot of editorial and reader
reviews. And when will your new book be coming out?
The Fine Art of Delusional Thinking is this coming week is going to a publisher. So I'm hoping they'll try and get it out by Christmas. I don't know how long they're going to take, but I really want it to be out for Christmas holidays because it's such a great gift book. And and then early next year, I hope to have my second novel out. It'll be interesting marketing, more than one book. You know, that's going to be a whole new thing for me.
That's right. I have six.
Wow.
It's hard, and mine are different genres, so this is very difficult.
Right. Yeah, well, my gift book is going to be different from the two, novels, so
different
I might meet a whole new group of people from that. Mm-hmm.
You will. All right, thank you so much for coming on. And now I can't even talk. I think I've been talking forever. My voice is like done. It means no sleep and no talking. I'm not no more. I don't have any shows actually for a few days. Right? I have no shows.
It was such a pleasure to be here.
It was great.
It was great to have you.
Oh yeah, it was so terrific because you really these are different techniques than people use, and you've been there, done that, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm learning.
Well, that's the thing, we all are. I mean, every day I've learned a ton from all of this. It's great.
I've learned in this industry you never stop learning because it's always changing.
That's right, and it's really going to be changing, more than ever. I think just these next couple of years is going to be a big change.
Well, when you get your second novel, email me when you'll come on and talk about your new book.
I would love to.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and Virginia, I hope both of you feel better. And I probably should
thank you,
now, but I'm not. So
I'm gonna take some airborne.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.
All right. Feel good. All right. Take care. Okay.
Okay.
And Virginia.
Bye.
So bye bye. Thank you, Virginia. Yeah. You'll be on Monday. Okay. That's it. Right.
No. Monday. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I hope you feel better. All right. Take care. All right. Take care. Bye.
Follow me to the world of Inc.